Hi everyone, welcome to episode 3 of Gimli Gals.
Episode 3!
I sounded so proper, didn't I?
You did, yes.
Am I a classy lady now?
Classy ladies in New York, episode 3. It's probably going to be our classiest episode.
Work. Okay, let's hope I never sing again because that was painful. We're talking about work today.
We are. So, I mean, this is something that I never thought I'd be doing.
The podcast or just working?
Both. Working.
What else would you be doing?
I definitely thought I'd be doing a podcast before working.
No. What?
No.
I'll get out of here.
If you guys know me, you know, work was never something I was thrilled about, but, you know, we're doing it.
What are you talking about? You were such an overachiever in college. Are you kidding?
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
I guess you're right.
It's so funny.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, we'll get into the nitty-gritty details, but here we are. Episode 3.
This is our work episode. We are uncovering everything about what it's like to dive yourself into corporate America.
Unfortunately.
And also do it in this crazy city. And it's just all the feelings that I think a lot of us are feeling. I mean, I'm arguing that 23 and 24 might be the two hardest ages.
Oh, totally.
23 to 26. I mean, hardest ages. Ever.
Yeah, I'm so excited to turn 23 next month because I can literally put 22 behind me. I know I'm really young. I know
I'm already 24.
Whatever. I just want to put this year of life behind me. It's been really stressful. We're going to get into it. But as you guys know, we're starting off the episode with Peek and Pit. Mm-hmm. And also, we're going to start adding fun facts. So I'm going to hit you with the fun fact. Are you ready, Leanne?
I am ready. Oh,
it
no.
It costs $1 million for someone to get a taxi driver license in New York to be a medallion yellow cab driver.
Now, how is that possible?
It's basically like
at
you,
all.
It's kind of confusing, and I'm probably going to get it wrong, so if anyone knows the correct answer, feel free to let us know.
Yeah.
But it's something along the lines of, like, it costs $1 million because you have to, like, pay the overarching yellow cab company. It's, like, basically, like, paying taxes or, like, paying a royalty.
So, and it's not up front,
no.
Obviously. So this is over time.
Right. And it's also an incentive to, like, the more work you do, the faster you can pay this off.
Ridiculous.
Because if anyone could just buy a yellow cab and just charge whatever they wanted. Oh.
Yeah, that actually does make sense. It's something that is making yellow cab, like, the guys at company money.
Right.
I mean, this is also why I always feel inclined. I didn't at first, but when I first started taking a lot of cabs in New York, which I do argue are cheaper than Ubers.
No.
They are cheaper.
I'll never back down from that argument.
That is the truth.
No.
Have you ever gotten in a cab from Lower East Side to Midtown? How much is it?
$12.
Or $16.
Yeah.
Or $17.
When have you ever gotten in an Uber pool and it was more than $7?
But I'm not talking about a pool.
They take you to the exact place.
No, I'm not talking about a pool, though.
You love companionship. Why don't you just love a good Uber pool?
That is something I do enjoy.
And maybe you get an aux cord out of it.
That is true. Okay, but a regular, if I just want my me time and I want myself in the back of a cab, I want to FaceTime my dad, I'm in the back of a cab, I'm relaxing, or I'm in an Uber, it's going to cost $25 in
that's
an Uber.
No, there's no way.
All right, we're going to get back to you on this next episode and we're going to show you in screenshot. Okay, you can't see us, but we're going to somehow show you guys on our story the difference.
We're going to do some deep dives. But anyways. Yeah. Peek and Pit time. Okay, see, that's the second time I'm saying on this episode. I need to stop now.
Peek and Pit.
I need to stop. What?
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, you ready for my Peek and Pit now? Okay.
Now I'm ready.
So I sent this to you, and please, 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 people, let me know if you saw this too. But it was an Instagram story from Kim Kardashian, and it was when she was in Uganda with Kanye.
And oh my gosh, yep.
It's him in front of like a group of children. They're like clapping or singing, and you see him like just walk up to Kim, and you hear him in the background go, "Get closer. I want the Instagram to hear me rap over the children."
He's like, "Click Kim, get closer. I want you to hear me rap over the children."
She's like, "Oh, okay."
She's like, "Okay, Kanye." Oh, little baby.
Like that's the content I need to see.
Daddy.
At all times.
Did you Daddy. Guys know that they call him Daddy?
His kids?
I thought they did.
No.
That's what you told me.
I would never say that. No.
You told me that.
No. Anyways,
okay, fine.
That was the most premium Kim Kardashian content I've ever seen, and I will never let it die.
Because it was raw, it was silly, it was kind of embarrassing, and it was cute.
Well, it just shows how they're psychopaths.
They are, yeah.
Get over here so you can hear me rap over the children.
Back when Kanye didn't even want to be filmed on anything, and right. Now I think he's kind of caught the bug, just like the rest of the family.
Well, now he's dad yay.
Yep, he is. So but, that's your peak, right?
Right. Well, so my real peak and pit are... I got a new job.
Oh, my gosh.
Moving up in the corporate world.
Yay. After a long time.
It's been a long time. Definitely a long time coming. And it's something that I'm so excited and passionate about. It's something I said I always wanted to do. So I got the job I wanted.
Finally. You've, interviewed so much. You had your interview down, I feel like.
Oh, I'm an incredible job interviewer. Hit me with any question right now.
What's your biggest weakness? The classic one.
Oh, I hate this one, but I got a great answer.
Okay, thank you. Tell me.
So, I would just say my biggest weakness is that
I love the sigh before it. That's such a job and everything.
It shows emotion.
Yeah, okay. Keep going.
Let me process. So I would just have to say, probably one of my biggest weaknesses and something that I'm working on a lot is that I just care so much about my work. And sometimes I take criticism personally and I take it close to heart when, you know, I really do know deep down that it's to make the business better, mm-hmm. and that it's not a personal, attack. I just care too much sometimes. And that's definitely something I'm working on and getting better at.
Wow.
Is that good?
It's good. It's great.
Yeah.
It's got a little sprinkle of cheese on it, a little cheesy.
Well, good.
But it's good.
It's better than being I'm perfect.
Yeah. Or my biggest weakness is I'm a perfectionist. I hate those kind. But yeah, not good at criticism.
It's taking perfectionist, but a step down.
Yeah, exactly.
It just shows I'm emotionally unstable. I just have a little bit of emotional
problem.
You're
I just said it really nicely.
Yeah.
In a way they didn't really know.
I'm a train wreck.
Yeah. I'm a train wreck and I'm trying to work for your company.
Right.
Me half the time.
I mean, that was definitely my peak. My pit was quitting my job, current job.
I don't know how you did it just because you also work in an office where you're so close with your boss. It's a lot of a smaller environment. It's not something that a million people are coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, since our topic today is about work, we're going to totally dive into that soon. But before we do that, what is your peak and pit, Leanne?
So this week, my peak was for Halloween.
Oh, God.
I was plastic surgery, everyone.
I'll post a picture of it.
The noun. So that's going to be something you guys got to see. I was really excited. Last year, I was Sunday Scaries.
That was a good one.
Which was good. And this year, I'm plastic surgery. I'm kind of botched, right?
Yeah, so, with all the dash.
Yeah, little facelift lines and all that stuff. So I kind of am, I was a big peak for me because I'm always wanted to do something kind of funny and clever every year for Halloween. So I think I'm going to keep that going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be good. Sure.
Pit is this that I was hungover. And you know how those go for me.
They're, no, you're death mode. You're literally
really
death mode.
Bad. Sunday was really bad.
Drink water.
Charlotte, I love that you are looking out for me. I think it's really sweet. But I just don't think that one thing like water is going to... It's not going to save me.
It will. It absolutely will.
She gave me these electrolyte packets, by the way.
Have you been using
drank
them?
I drank one yesterday.
Yesterday? I gave it to you 3 weeks ago.
I drank one yesterday. I still have 10 to go.
I know. I did give you a lot.
I probably should start. Anyway.
Every day at work, electrolyte hour.
You want to tell them how I spelled it?
Oh, good God. Okay. So, of course, she was Sunday Scaries. She was dead in bed. And I was like, Leanne, I have these magical electrolyte packets because, long story short, I did Whole30 and keto for a while, which that was just a disaster. But when you do those types of diets, you get really dehydrated and, things just don't work the same. So whatever, it keeps you really hydrated. So I'm telling her, electrolytes, that's a tongue twister. Anyways, I'm shoving it down her throat. She's like, okay, whatever, I leave. She texts me, hey, can you remind me where you bought those electrolyte packets, but she spelled it electro, L-I-G-H-T, a light bulb.
E-L-E-C-H-T-R-O.
That is not how you spell electrolyte. E-L-E-C-T-R-O.
C-T-R-O space L-I-G-H-T-S.
When it's L-Y-T-E-S. Anyways, it was hilarious.
My brain was a straight mush at that point.
You needed a lot of electrolytes.
I needed help. Yeah, so my pit is that I was very hungover, and my hangovers are pretty much the closest thing to death that I'll probably get to until that day happens.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's awful.
It's bad. But it's okay.
DM me if you want to talk about hangovers, if you want to talk about how we get through them, if you want to talk about anxiety with hangovers, maybe depression with hangovers, maybe throwing up till 9 p.m. with hangovers. All that. I am here. I am your girl. I have done it.
Support group.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know who you are, those other people out there.
You know where you are. I don't think, well, who knows? Anyways, diving into, oh my God, if I sing one more time.
I'll do it. Diving into work. Okay.
Okay. You like to sing.
I'd like to sing. So let's do it.
Okay. So, it's so funny to kind of look at our work lives in New York, because not only did we make a massive transition moving to New York, but also we transitioned from college to working, which is so hard for some people, and finding that balance. And I think we've actually had two very different experiences with it. But
100% different.
In college, what did you think you were going to do after you graduated?
So I was very involved in PRSSA. And I was president my junior year, and I love PR. It was honestly my first major. It was my first choice as a major, and I always loved it. And I did event planning with a company for a few years. So I would have wanted to go straight into event planning, but I think what I thought I was going to do was go and just do in-house PR for, like, L Brands or some, like, big brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I knew I was going to start, like, a little bit larger, a little more general. So I would have just said, oh, you're going to take a PR entry-level job at a big corporate company. I probably wasn't going to go agency.
No.
That's what, I mean, I would have said 90% chance at that point, actually, which is hilarious.
That is funny. Well, because, I mean, we were the same major in college. Mm-hmm.
And we both minored in fashion.
And we both minored in fashion. And I knew when I was in college I wanted to be an apparel buyer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that my education really set me up for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a communications major, and so it was very PR heavy, very agency versus, you know, event planning versus how you're gonna take it. And I
even
was just
a lot of what's the word, Holt, Professor Holt,
crisis.
I feel like a lot of our classes at OSU's curriculum was crisis focused as well.
Totally. Too. It was just old school PR. Mm-hmm. And I just, at the end of it, I was like, I never want to write a press release ever again in my life.
Very traditional PR.
So what can I do without doing that? And so I knew I wanted to be in New York because I interned a summer before that, and I was doing like e-com stuff. So I was really interested in like branding, site presence, creative, that kind of stuff. And I needed to find a way to get my feet wet in that because I didn't know what avenue I wanted to take that.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, e-com is not, and that's e-commerce for anybody. And PR is public relations, just filling the gaps here.
Vocab list.
Yeah, I don't think that's something that people would think about going into unless you had any, like, real life experience with it.
Right, because I'm not, like, a techie IT coding or even, like, design. Mm-hmm. That's not me. I just, I want to make sure your brand looks good and it's consistent and you have a consistent message.
It's also dipping its toes into logistics a bit. A little bit?
Eh.
I might be wrong about that. But I just know that you're talking to people that are supplying, producing.
Kind of.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
You're handling a little bit more than that
totally.
Than I would ever do with PR ever.
Well,
design.
So the funny thing is that you found yourself in sales.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the big bad sales.
How did you do that?
Crazy, actually. So my dad is in sales, and that was something that was always, I'm always very familiar with. I've always been familiar with sales. It's something that I really understood a lot just growing up with him and understanding like how that work ethic goes, but wouldn't necessarily say it was something that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it's like another field, something that you can do in one industry and you can switch industries regardless of how you're doing it or where you're doing it. A sales cycle, they call it, is the same. Prospecting a client, pitching a client,
oh, geez,
meeting
a
client.
Okay, we get it.
Closing on a client, making a deal,
okay,
making commission. It's the
making
same.
Making them dollars.
So, yeah, it's the same whether you do it on in a day or like at my job right now, I do a sales cycle in 30 minutes at the shortest, or a company that does it in a year and a half.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it'd be the same process, but just over longer amounts of time, bigger deals.
Do you think you're going to do this for a long time?
I think I'll stick with it for a while. It's definitely, if you ever want to follow like sales humor on Instagram or something like that, it's one of those industries that gets a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, because it's extremely difficult and it's day by day. I love my job one day, I hate it the next. And I've kind of accepted that it's going to be that way for a while, but I like the challenge. I like the competition.
Yeah.
It's definitely taught me a lot. So we're gonna stick with it. I can't believe I'm doing it, honestly. That would have been probably my last choice. But I fell into a good job with a good company in New York. So I said, you know, most of the boxes are checked off. Why shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So I'm happy I did it. But yeah. If anybody wants to DM me about sales too, like I can help you talk through the craziness.
I would ask you what your sales pitch is, but we don't have an hour to spare.
And I've they heard make it 20 me times. Do it. They don't make me do it.
You thrive when people are like drunk getting pizza at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Like,
drunk getting pizza at 4 a.m.
Try to sell me something. I hate it.
And I'm like, okay.
No.
Give me your
wallet. What's your product? Yeah, that's what you always say.
I'm always like, what's your product? What do you own? What are you looking for?
Oh, jeez. Well, speaking of products, I worked. It's
yeah,
now
you can
previous.
Say it. Now it's happening.
I worked in product development. It sounds design heavy, but it's not. But I mm-hmm. basically work between buyers and suppliers and kind of project manage product from concept to fruition to make sure it goes online and looks pretty. So I've had the opportunity to do it with a private label through a huge retailer, which has been great. And I worked on furniture, decor, and like cook and dine. And I never thought I was going to go into like the home business.
Mm-hmm.
I always admired it. I always thought it was cool. I always, you know, appreciated a well-designed home. But it was never like something that I was like, I need to work in it the way some other people in my industry are. And so I really liked it. I thought it was super interesting. I learned so much. Like, it was great. But, you know, I came here with the goal to work in apparel. And so that was a really hard switch to do last week to quit. It was hard.
Oh my gosh. Especially because now you have so much industry knowledge.
I mean, yeah, they set me up really well, but it's like no one can prepare you to quit your job when like you have like a more personal connection with people you work with, because I'm not trying to burn bridges, not professionally, but also like friendship wise.
Yeah.
Like I really care about the people I work with and I don't want to screw anyone over, but like you feel like you're the devil. Like I'm leaving them high and dry. Like there's so much going on. Like why would I do this? So guilty. I didn't sleep. Like I knew about my offer a couple days before I put it in. Yeah. And I like physically could not bring myself to do it. Like it made me sick. And like when I finally did,
I can't imagine if I did that right now.
No, it was so hard. And like the funny thing is like when I finally did do it, everyone was so nice. So supportive, so happy for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be like, fuck you. Like, how could you do this to me? Like, all this stuff. But no, they were so nice about it. And like, it was so funny after the fact. They were like, you were shaking so bad the whole time.
Completely. I mean, it's never going to get easier to quit, maybe a little bit, but it's your first time. I feel like now that I'm working, a good judge of a good company is when people are quitting, take a look around. What's the reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Because at least at my company, they're very understanding that a lot of people start there, but they don't end there, you know?
Right.
And they understand it. When people leave, it's like, it's sad, but it's not on bad terms ever. And that says a lot about the company to me.
Right.
Just something to think about if you're going into your first job and you want to kind of see just what the culture is early on.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, they knew like apparel was something I was interested in and like, they were just so happy for me, which, like, obviously makes me feel a lot better about making this really hard decision.
For sure.
Anyways.
Coworkers they turn into, like, friends/family. I mean, they spend more time with you during the week than any other human.
Have you seen those Instagrams? It's like, my coworker knows about my sex life.
Oh, my God.
Knows what I do every minute of the day. Knows every guy I dated. Knows my health background. My God. Do we hang out outside of work? No.
I mean, there's so many coworkers that know so much
about
me.
It's disgusting.
ridiculous details. Details right. They should not know.
Like, should we draw a line?
I told my coworkers today. Oh, this is hilarious.
What?
Oh, my gosh. I found out. Guys, this is so ridiculous. I started going to a chiropractor, and it's great. I love it. But I didn't realize that when you go into your physical therapy session, they tell you to put on, like, a gown.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah, you're getting work done on your back.
Yeah, so, like, I thought it was completely normal to, like, strip down.
In front of the doctor?
No, I mean, like, put the gown on, and then you lay down, and then they, like, on your stomach, and they undo the gown, and then they work on your body.
Yeah, were you butt-ass naked? Oh, my God, you were.
I mean, I have my underwear on. But listen,
that's okay.
You think that's okay?
Yeah.
My one coworker who goes to the same chiropractor as me, I told her that because I felt like I had a weird feeling that it wasn't normal. And she was like, Leanne, obviously keep your pants on. Obviously keep your bra on. And I was like,
No, they're working on your back. If they have to go through a bra strap, no.
Right?
And your back goes down to like your hip.
Okay,
that's
then
your
maybe
ass.
I'm not crazy. But anyway, coworkers knowing too much about you, this morning at our morning meeting, we had to go around and I lost in catchphrase, which our job, we play hilarious games all day, which is ridiculous. And I lost. So then I had to tell an embarrassing story about myself. And that's what I told. And literally my whole team knows that now.
You told an entire team of people you got butt ass naked in front of a doctor.
So there we go. Coworkers know too much. I mean, they really
do. Way too much.
But they love me still. So it's fine.
Oh, God. Well, I think...
Yeah, DM me if you should leave your clothes on at the chiropractors. I'm really dying.
We'll do an Insta poll.
Please. Please do an Instagram poll on this. I really need to know. My next appointment's on Monday, so hurry up, guys.
Yeah. Well, another thing that, like, I think it's really important to touch on is, like, transitioning to working full-time. Because I think that my transition was really smooth. Like, I always really appreciate structure, and I worked a lot in college.
I'm eye-rolling right now.
I know you are.
Because you're right.
Like, I love structure. Like, I like knowing I'm getting my paycheck the same time every other week. I know my hours. I know what I can say yes and no to, like, socially. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and you also had, you were working and you were fit modeling in Columbus at the time, so you had some structure already.
You did not.
I did not. I didn't.
No.
I don't think there's been something that I've gone through that's harder, honestly.
Really?
Nope. That's probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life was transitioning. Like, I remember just feeling like I wanted to throw up the whole week before starting work. I could not handle it. I couldn't believe that the day had come. Honestly, it was just more of a thing of, like, denial with knowing that I was putting myself in career building myself throughout college and realizing that it was going to come one day, sure. But the fact that I actually would do it just never crossed my mind. And we graduated in May. I didn't start my job till November 6th. Mm-hmm. On purpose. I really took that time for myself, which I'm happy about, but, like, I took that time because I truly just was pushing it away.
I took no time. I moved to New York with no job. I was like,
You're insane.
I just know I wanted to be there, and, like, it's a kind of a funny transition into talking into side hustles because, like, I made it work.
You did.
I was here for almost 2 months with no full-time job, and how did I fill my time? I was walking dogs on Rover. I was fit modeling a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. It was just anything to fill the time.
I love that you were walking dogs. I love that.
Oh, I loved it, except dog owners in New York are fucking psychopaths.
I believe that.
Literally, I, like, that's stayed overnight with someone. I was there for, like, 2 days while they went on, like, a weekend trip. They asked to FaceTime the dog 4 times a day.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, no, the dog's not available right now. Like, my God.
He's sleeping. We're fine.
Right. Ugh. Then the dog was awful, but that's a whole other story. But
yeah.
Even, you know, like, first job problems, like, we make, like, no money. Like, it's just so funny how, like, people think we survive because, like, we don't. And so I kind of hopped on, like, the side hustle on top of a full-time job thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, a funny story that, like, people don't know is my first side hustle. My parents are going to cringe so bad. Sorry, Mom and Dad. I got a job as a cocktail waitress at a strip club.
I love that. I was so proud of you when you did that.
People freaked out.
I was like, go Charlotte. I mean, you want to go somewhere that's going to make you money. Not saying that you're stripping, but like,
no, I wasn't.
It's
somewhere
that people spend a lot of money.
Absurd. I mean the amount of things I think that stuff that I saw there. And granted, I only lasted 3 training shifts because they wanted me on as full time, and I was like, I have a career.
Like, I can't do this. Yeah.
But like a bad night there as a cocktail waitress, like on a Wednesday, they walk away with $500 cash.
Insane. If people are already in the mood and they're drinking to spend money, mm-hmm. it's not gonna be anything to them that they're throwing you some extra cash.
Yeah, and it's solely bottle service, basically. So you make a certain percent off of every bottle you sell, and then tips on top of that. So it's just, you know, it was really weird, and like everyone there was so nice. But well, it's really interesting, like strippers don't get paid anything really from, they have to pay the club to strip. Did you know that?
I kind of, is like, that like paying someone to perform, like to sing?
Well, no, it's like basically to like rent the pole. So like basically when they come in, they pay the club $200, and then because they make a shit ton of tips, so like they just pay to like perform, and then they have to just tip out a certain percent, but then everything else they keep.
Yeah. Huh. It's not a bad gig. Hustles.
It's not, no. I mean, it was a little weird, but you become so numb to it after like the first hour.
I'm pro like feminism with strippers, because I do think like if you are a dancer and you got to make some money, and you know, this is something that you want to do and it's within some terms here.
Well, the thing is, you know, my like mentality of the whole thing completely switched, where I didn't see it as something of like, we have to give men what they want. Like, I saw it more of as like, men are so dumb that they spend so much money on just a woman's being. Like, bow down, and I'm just
bow down, bitches.
I'm gonna bow down and just exist, and you're just gonna give me money for me being me, and you look pathetic. You know what I'm saying? I flipped the narrative.
Oh, for sure. I totally see it that way.
Yeah,
100%.
Well, like my other side hustle, I worked at like this fancy ass steakhouse.
Dells.
Don't say it.
Oh. Fine.
Whatever. There's like, actually, I learned there's a couple different places
called
Dells. It's a nickname,
so no one actually knows it.
There's a couple. No, but it was this fancy ass steakhouse. I met a lot of like random celebrities. I got a call from The Weeknd once at the front desk.
I'm gonna miss you working there.
I know.
I loved visiting you there.
You did. I mean, I was averaging 70 hours a week.
You was insane.
Working. It was unreal. I was at a restaurant till 2 in the morning, and then I'd be back at my office job at 8 a.m. and then work till 6 p.m. and then go straight from there to the restaurant again. It was so unmanageable. I ended up getting fired because I asked off for the Ohio State game, and apparently that's not okay, even though I found out my manager takes off every single Red Sox game, but it's fine.
But it's fine.
It's fine.
I mean, yeah, you just got to give yourself at least, like, if you were to continue, you at least just needed those game days.
Right.
And you couldn't have them, so bye.
Right. Well, you know what? Honestly, having my life back is fantastic. But now I'm starting a new job, and I'm probably going to be so busy. It's going to be insane.
True.
But they call this place the city of the side hustle, because it's so true. Everyone has a side hustle.
You got to have at least something small. So if you've heard of Poshmark, mm-hmm. love Poshmark, the app, and I sell a lot of clothes on there. I probably sell something once a week. I probably could even up it if I really just put more time into it.
That's wild to me. I've never sold anything. I actually have a coat I'm like dying to get rid of. Can I just give it to you?
Yeah.
Can you sell it for me?
100%. I take good photos. That's key. And then I share my listings every single night, which now that I have a lot of listings, it actually takes some time to go through and click through. They need to make like a button where you just share it all. I don't know why they don't do that.
I'm sure they do. And maybe you just haven't figured it out.
That also might be it. That might be true. But yeah, I sell a lot of my clothes on there, because I'm kind of a person that I don't have an issue with like buying something, wearing it twice and selling it, because I got my use out of it.
Yeah.
I sell it for the same price because I wore it twice. So
right.
That's fun. And then when I actually moved here, I was babysitting a lot.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I was babysitting a ton. I loved that because I love kids and I miss it, because I used to only really make money back in Ohio doing that.
But like, nanny drama here. It's like
nanny drama here is real, and the kids here, awful. I mean, there's beautiful, lovely children here, and I don't mean all of you, but oh my goodness.
To all you youngins out there listening, I love you.
I love all of you. To our young crowd, hi. No. I really love kids, and especially the kids I was babysitting were like 7 to 10 years old, my favorite ages. I had a 12-year-old girl. I felt like the 12-year-old girl that I was babysitting, I swear to God, she was smart enough to be my essentially my best friend. Like, and I hated that because she watched all the same movies I'd seen. She loved the same music I loved. She knew Zara, like, she, it was just,
she's a city kid.
She's a city kid. And city cooler. Kids, they're just cooler. And I just didn't like that. I instantly felt a little bit less cool than them. Totally. And that pissed me off, so I've stopped.
So basically, like, the main takeaways of working in New York is you're constantly working.
Mm-hmm.
You're never not working.
That's something that I think is respectable, is a lot of our friends do work late. A lot of our guy friends work late. But this is the kind of city that people understand.
Yeah, everyone. It's such a grind. It's such a hustle. Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of place, if you want to build a career and you want everybody else to be supportive and understand and doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
come right here. Come and join us. Join the madness.
But I have, like, one last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually need to, like, ask everyone this, but have you ever shown up to work drunk or hungover?
Oh, my gosh. Twice.
What? Twice?
Twice. Twice is good.
I'm at zero.
Twice is really good for me. Oh, come on.
I don't drink during the week.
Okay. I've shown up tipsy.
Drunk or hungover? Oh, tipsy. The party just getting started.
I've never been drunk. No way. I'd say hungover tipsy. If you know what that is, you know what it is.
So you're still drunk for the night before?
Yeah.
That's happened. I can't even imagine.
It's happened twice. And it was something, yeah, and it was for a good reason, because I don't like to go out on the weekdays either, but twice out of a year, come on. That's
okay,
good
that's good
that's
for
good
you.
For me.
That's good for you.
Yeah, so I'm proud of that.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine your drunk ass, like, let me sell you some ad space.
No, I think it's more so like my head's pounding, like, just sign up.
Just give me your damn credit card.
Just sign
number.
Up. Just do it. Like, come on. Obviously, you want to. No.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was fine. I just think it's a little hard to, it's hard for me to focus. It's more of a, like, I just, you know, pounding the coffee, pounding the bagels. It's not fun. Honestly, don't recommend it. I'm not going to say, I don't have any tips on how to get through that. If I can barely get through it on a Sunday where I'm laying in bed, you do not want to see me try and do that on a work day. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I'll let you know when I experience it for the first time.
Yes, please.
I can't even imagine.
You probably won't. Oh, you will.
Oh, God. I'm a good kid.
You are a good kid. No, I think you know what you are, though. You're going to be the girl that gets up early, is still hungover, gets the iced coffee, comes to work, and then you're like, maybe got your sunglasses on, and then you're like fine by noon.
Totally.
That's gonna be you. So I don't know. Mine's a little harder.
Well, I really do like hearing people's stories about being drunk at work. So DM us your drunk at work problems.
Yes.
And we'll share the best stories on our next episode.
Yes. 100%.
Also, if any of you know how to navigate quitting a job and that transition period and feeling like everyone hates you and you don't want to let everyone down, let me know. I'm struggling.
100%. Okay.
I'm struggling. But
yeah, we are struggling, honestly. And if anybody wants to help me out with just
not showing up drunk to work.
No. I got that handled. No. Maybe more like just going up past the 1 year mark. I'm almost about to celebrate my 1 year and feeling like you want to stay motivated.
This is going to be your life for the next 40
years.
Do
not
years.
Say that.
Well, let's just hope this podcast just, you know, skyrockets.
Right. That's the goal.
We can make just us talking bullshit a career.
I would love that. I think I'd.
But it's so funny because that was like never the goal. But now Mm-mm. It's so funny that we've been doing it so much. We're like, oh my God, this is so easy. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, it is fun.
All right.
So episode 3, we love you guys. Make sure to follow and subscribe.
Yes, please. We're now on Apple Podcasts. Please rate us, give us a review, share with your friends. We're open to any feedback. Like I said, if you want to DM us something you want us to talk about,
mm-hmm.
we want to hear it all. We want to, you know, start bringing on guests soon. So we have, you know, we're vetting all of our friends because they all want to be on it. So next episode, maybe we'll have a surprise guest.
Yeah, surprises are great.
Yeah. All right. Bye, guys.
Love you. Bye.